The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Today should be a calmer show. At least the first segment should be. Nothing that's going to piss me off happen. I can't say it won't happen in the next 2 hours, but at least nothing could piss me off, or at least nothing did piss me off last night. You know, there's no nonsense about our soccer team. We're in the middle of baseball season, and the Astros, they didn't anger me. I mean, they lost from Targetti. You know, after the, you know, it was going good for two outs, for the first two outs of the first inning, and then after that, things fell apart. And this is what you have to expect from a guy of his age. He's still finding his way. So he's coming off a great performance in his last start. In fact, that start was the one that had the Astros at 500. They were officially at 500. After his start against Colorado, where he had 10 Ks, seven innings of a three-hit baseball. And then you have yesterday, where he only goes four walks, a couple home runs. So the Astros go down. They did fight back. And I was thinking about this team really before this, like, 8-9-game stretch, where there weren't a lot of games where if the pitchers got off to a bad start, this team was going to fight back and win. Like, I don't remember a lot of 9-7 games where the pitching puts them in a big hole. I mean, there was the Blair Henley start, but that was way back when. But this team, we used to know them for, doesn't really matter how poorly the starting pitcher goes. There's going to be a chance that they fight back and maybe eventually win it late. That has been part of what we love about them. And we've seen that recently. We know about in the Mets series, Fromber was terrible. They came back to win that one. They have done more of that lately. And I thought it was going to happen again last night. After being down 7-0, they get within 7-6. Just cannot get over the hump. They did have a runner on second with nobody out in the top of the ninth and just could not push that run home. Jose Altuve came up. And just didn't work out. So they go down 7-6. Thankfully, the Mariners do lose as well, so they don't lose any ground. And the Mariners have now lost three in a row. And the Astros drop one in Toronto, so now 43-42. But there, we did have updates about Justin Verlander and Kyle Tucker. Mostly Verlander's the one that's new. Joe Espada talked about Verlander yesterday. And, you know, he's working his way back. When he comes back, we're probably looking at late July at the earliest. It seems like that's the timetable. If I'm actually going to put one on Verlander, which they won't, and rightfully so, they're not following our advice expressly. But this show is like, hey, stop doing that. Stop telling us when guys are going to come back when honestly you don't really know. So Verlander's playing catch. He plays catch in his recovery from a neck ailment. I know these are normal baseball things, but baseball's got the weirdest and kind of softest rehab type things. Oh, he's going to play catch. And that's the first step in his path back to being an elite athlete again. Just tossing the ball to a buddy, and he's working himself back. So that's what we heard from Verlander yesterday.
It's crazy because football is pretty much either you're in or you're out.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's not a lot. You don't hear about, like, the ramp up to, because even now, you know, Dale, nowadays, guys miss practice all the time. So even like, oh, now he's practicing. That means he's closer. It's like, well, he can also just have a day off of practice and then just do the non-contact stuff and play on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, there's – baseball, we just get – maybe it's just because of the Astros specifically. But I feel like we get such painstaking detail over every step of the process.
Is him playing catch really an update? I get he's a pitcher, so anytime he's using his arm to throw a baseball, it's a really important thing, although we've been told it's a neck injury.
It's a neck injury.
But it's not. You're right. Like, a guy can have a concussion, and as long as he can step into a room that's well-lit and then get out on the practice field and maybe not even do nothing, he could have a concussion on Sunday. If he's back on the practice field by Friday, even in a red jersey, but can go through football activities, there's a shot he can play, and then they have Saturday to make the decision.
Even the concussion example, like, we know about concussion protocol. We know that there's, like, different steps in it. But we don't have Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans twice a week being like, you know, he's actually made – he's up to the reading in sunlight part of the
– Yeah. Like, those updates, the NFL teams don't have those updates.
He's listening to music on AirPods point of the
– Unless – sometimes if you're a quarterback – yeah, that'll happen, because particularly if you're a quarterback who suffered a concussion before, people will ask. But for the most part, it's like, well, he's still in the protocol. When he can get out on the field, we'll let you know. And that's just how they treat it. When there is an update to actually give, they'll give it. But I guess playing catch stage for a pitcher is, like you mentioned, maybe he can actually be in a well-lit room. And they're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you one of your favorite players can now sit in a well-lit room without getting a headache, which I just think it's funny that's how baseball treats things. So catch is an important step in the process. Of course, the process could still be extended. We're just waiting, and certainly he is needed. Almost any version of Verlander is needed right now, because beyond Arrigetti struggling yesterday, you still only have four starting pitchers. So they're able to survive a bullpen game over the weekend. One of those is coming up here shortly. And can you expect the type of start you got from Sean Dubin again, where he goes 3 1/3 and doesn't give up a hit? I'm probably asking a little much from whoever is the opener in that ball game. So we would welcome any sign of reinforcement, certainly. And Verlander appears that if we're going to get it from a guy currently on the roster, at least, it would be him, as the other guys are a little further away. And, of course, that brings up what will become a conversation up until the end of the month, how the Astros improve this roster, or if they will improve this roster through a trade. We talked about the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. stuff yesterday as a potential option as a big bat, mostly brought up by people who are either just creating articles for ESPN to just say, hey, this is the guy that the Astros could need, or, you know, someone you would consider part of Astros Twitter who made an appearance last week on this station discussing the prospect of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I don't know if I'm waiting for Nightingale or Heyman or one of the other baseball guys to add some credence to it, but I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when there's actually something real behind it. I respectfully say that to the people who have sources, or at least they tell us they have sources. I respectfully say, I'll wait for, what will we call it, legacy media to tell us? When legacy media has an inkling of something like this going down, I will welcome it, because in some circles, the Trevor Bauer thing was a thing, except it wasn't, because legacy media didn't actually do any real reporting on it. So I'll wait. And then, you know what, if it happens, I will certainly give credit to the gentleman, I believe his name is Michael Schwab, who brought it to this station and has talked about it on Twitter. Until that point, I'll take it under advisement. I'll take the rumor under advisement.
It's also something that we see a lot right now in the NBA, where, yeah, there's rumors like every 2 days, sure, about something. That teams are talking about something. So, you know, we're a week away, or a week away from the Shams reporting that the 76ers where interest was waning in Paul George.
That's true.
And then 2 days ago, Paul George signed with the
Well, that brings up a thing about
Sixers.
A thing about Shams that's building, that he's locked in with a gambling site. And is he purposely affecting the odds, considering he will report things that turn out to be completely wrong just days later? There are people looking into it and saying, we can't wait for the FBI to get involved and try to figure out what is going on there. How could you're very wrong, and it affects the betting odds, and then a story comes out disproving your report completely.
Especially because it happens a bit more. It happens pretty frequently at this point where...
And it's happening more than it did when he wasn't affiliated.
Yes.
With that site.
Well, it's also, again, like Paul George, within 3 days, it's Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller, the day before the draft. Like, it's like very close, because there is some element of, you know, 3 months ago, everyone's like, Donovan Mitchell, out of there in Cleveland. And there is some credence to like, hey, things can actually change. Like, people's mind on where they want to play can change. People, the team can reassess what they want to do and change in certain situations. If we're getting things wrong, this wrong, back to, like, within 3 days of the actual thing happening, it's like, what's going on? Especially when sometimes he's the one that actually breaks the real news.
Yeah.
So there is an element of, like, it's one thing if someone... someone with less pelts on the wall has a rumor and just completely wrong, because it's like, well, maybe his sourcing isn't that good, or maybe he's being more reckless with what he's willing to report. With Shams, it's like, nope, Shams gets the scoops directly from agents and teams,
and he's very wrong. And then, as you said, we'll break news and be completely right about it. So I don't know what that is. But it seems a little fishy, and people are noticing how his information can directly affect lines. And then, hey, you know what? I take it back, particularly with the Sixers thing. So if we're going to take his reporting to heart and say what he was saying was correct and no duplicitous stuff behind it, the Sixers would have had to have been, you know what? The Paul George thing, forget about it. We don't really want it. And then in a matter of 72 hours, you know what? We change our minds. We have changed our minds, and we actually want Paul George. We're hoping and praying that he opts out of his deal, and the Clippers keep pissing him off by not wanting to give him the 4 years so we can get him. So they went from waning to giving him a 4-year max extension. I can understand why people would look at that and go, huh, that's weird. You can always, I guess, protect yourself by saying the Sixers were doing a leverage thing. But you know what the leverage turned out to be? We're going
to
give him all the money and all
the
years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to, hey, maybe there's not the market for Paul George that you think, and we can get him on a cheaper price. Turns out, no, you gave him everything he wanted, and now he's going to be a Sixer. So that's weird. We're talking to NBA.
The first night of free agency.
Yeah.
They
were hoping and praying that the Clippers couldn't convince him, and happy that they backed out of the trade to the Warriors. That's the other thing surrounding it. Draymond's talking quite a bit about the fact that the Warriors could have had Paul George, except the Clippers decided they didn't want to trade him. And that reporting came out before, but now Draymond's confirming it, that they had a deal in place. The Warriors were in on Paul George, and Paul George was welcome. He was welcoming the opportunity to play for the Warriors until the Clippers said no. And the Warriors aren't done making moves. We'll get to that at some point today. The Warriors, who we think probably should be, you know, packing it in, deciding maybe this particular run is over. They are making moves to say, no, it's not. I mean, we can certainly break down if they're actually effective. But the Warriors are still trying to play a part in the NBA title chase. The Rockets, they're at a different point in their rebuild. But Reed Sheppard was introduced to the media yesterday. We got a taste of Reed Sheppard after the draft, but now he's in Houston, and he spoke. So we'll hear from him. We'll hear from Ime on Reed Sheppard as well, as the Rockets welcome the seventh member of the core. It was actually written in a piece in the Chronicle, Sean. They go from core six to core seven. So it's not just fan nonsense. It's actually something people with journalism degrees are writing. this is where we are. We'll talk about the Rockets when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Sean alerted me. He reminded me, I guess I'd say. I did see this earlier, that the U.S. soccer fan group, the American Outlaws, have issued a statement saying it's time for change. They have let it be known that as a group, they can no longer support Greg Berhalter. Of course, just think about it. The American Outlaws, probably, if we're talking about fan groups, probably very ineffectual when it comes to actually invoking change.
Don't do that.
We know there are supporter groups around the world who the clubs actually listen to because of, you know, how strong the support is, how long they've been supporting the club.
And they're willing to get in the streets over.
Yeah, and things can get ugly very quickly, and you know, and the clubs don't want to deal with it. I don't know about national team support groups or supporters and how they would affect a hiring process or firing process, but if I'm going to rank the level of influence a national team supporter group would have, the American Outlaws are last. Last, mostly because U.S. soccer doesn't care.
Does Canada have a better?
I would think if Canada,
Canadian Outlaws,
if I think they'd come up with a better name,
Canadian In-Laws.
I don't know what they would do. Canadian Tuxedo. I don't know what they call themselves, but I would imagine that they might have more influence than the American Outlaws. Trust, and this is the case for most supporters, whether you're a fan of the Texans or the Rockets. You have little to no influence on what management's going to do. Doesn't happen. I mean, the critique of this country about soccer is we don't put enough pressure on the Federation to make better moves. Let me ask you something, Sean. We've been in a city where concurrently there were two franchises who just stopped caring about winning football and basketball games. Major market. Several sports stations in town. You could rip the Rockets and Texans for years about how they went about things. Did anything we say affect how they ran their business?
I think we got Deshaun Nix out of the paint. You know? I think
that was the thing they responded to, our ripping of Deshaun Nix. So when people
to answer your question, no. That the Texans came the closest with the Josh McCown flirtation.
Was that us or Brian Flores?
It was Brian Flores.
Yes, yes.
But they're, yeah, I don't know.
So when people lean on, hey, you know why they get away with these things in the Federation? They keep making dumb mistakes because this country won't put pressure on them. Look at all the poorly run franchises across the country in all the major sports.
Yeah.
You don't think... And particularly if they're in a major city, there are radio stations and TV and fan sites all crushing those teams. Does it change their approach to things? No. Cut it out. Yeah. You guys have no influence on anything.
Yeah, and it's not even like a Houston thing. Like,
no, it's across the country.
Look at the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Giants, the Knicks. Like,
before
you could be the biggest city in the world.
It does not matter. So leaning on, well, if we were a serious soccer-playing country, no, this country... And the people who run the sports ranchers don't care what we think. I mean, they want people in the building, but they're going to still do things the way they want to do them. They're all going to imagine that they believe the way they're doing is the right way to do things.
They're calling us soft. That's what they're doing. That's what when they have the owners meeting in I don't know, Tampa or wherever they're on some golf
wherever
course
it
in
is,
Tampa.
Yeah.
What they get in there, like Cal McNair is like, man, got some soft ass fans. You can do whatever you want. Him and David Tepper are like, you can do whatever you want. They still buy season tickets.
They will, yes. The media put pressure on them. It doesn't matter. Hell, the Texans didn't get people in the building. they might have bought the tickets, but it was embarrassing, the showing from people actually walking in to watch the games. And for years, David Culley, Lovie Smith, whatever. We'll do what we want. And then at some point, someone inside the organization decided maybe we should stop acting this way. We'll act this way. But it had nothing to do with outside noise.
Yeah. And they're like, then you just draft a quarterback and everyone comes back.
Yeah. look how easy it is. Hit on the quarterback and everyone's back in everyone's back in. You hit on the quarterback, you throw up a couple H's, you create those dumb t-shirts with the outline of my mustache on them, and we're good.
That's where they listen to the fans.
They created those t-shirts of the H throwing.
Yeah. That's where he was like, you know what the people love? Throwing up the H.
Yeah, so something very unimportant. They listen to the fans. It's funny. Like, people, we will applaud organizations for not listening. Like if you put that question to anyone in power, no, yes, we understand the fans have an opinion, but we're going to operate in a certain way that we believe is best. And a reasonable person is going to say, you know what, that's the right way to do things. Don't listen to the fans. They're reactionary. If you have a plan, follow it. Hopefully you get it right. But in U.S. soccer, we need to hold them to more account because then they'll change the way they do things. No. If we have bad people, not bad people per se, but bad soccer people in charge, it doesn't matter what we think. We just have to hope we get lucky and people who are smart about the game of soccer make the next hire. And since we don't have those people in the Federation, we got to hope and pray that someone convinces them to hire a good manager. Rant over.
Or to just fire the current manager.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a good start.
Great point. That hasn't happened yet, so let's get that out of the way, and then we'll do the other thing. Very, very astute point.
Again, there's two steps where we have to put our faith in these bozos.
No, but let's rant for – let's turn U.S. soccer into how we treat the Texans or how the New York media treats the Knicks and see how it goes.
But you know,
nothing will change.
Maybe they will get rid of Greg Berhalter now because the American Outlaws wrote 6 paragraphs?
Very
on official American Outlaw, I don't know, it's not actually stationary.
No, it's just not. But
it's just a
digitally
graphic.
On Twitter, it's the equivalent. So maybe that's the final straw and U.S. soccer will realize the dumbness of their ways because the American Outlaws have spoken out, because you must listen to a group who've created the chant, "I believe that we will win."
That'd be great if the Federation was like, come up with some better chance. How about that?
I mean,
you want us to write that one down? Put out a press release.
Yeah. How about when we put a game in Houston, you guys actually dominate the building. When you do that,
yeah.
Let's have home games in the southern part of the country, and then we'll listen to you.
You know, it'd be nice if we didn't have to be scared to book any CONCACAF match south of the Mason-Dixon line. Yeah. That'd be sick.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Then we'll take your opinions into account. Sean brings up that letter of condemnation of Berhalter and the Federation. It distracts me from the Rockets. We'll get to Reed Sheppard here quickly. Reed Sheppard was introduced to the media, and it was funny. It was much like, I don't know if a lot of people have seen Blue Chips, but when they were bringing a recruit in, they have the cheerleaders welcome him into campus, and it was much like that. It was very collegiate. What they're doing with the Rockets.
Which one of the three Blue Chips do you think he was most like?
I don't remember the names, but I know what you're saying.
Shaq, Penny, or the other guy?
It was the other guy.
Okay.
Was Rex Chapman in that movie?
Maybe on like the other team. No, you're thinking Bobby Hurley.
Bobby Hurley. There it is. He was a Bobby Hurley character in Blue Chips. So he's getting, was he being showered with streamers? What? As he was walking the path to the press conference,
I just know
cheerleaders were there. There were like three of them lined up on each side of him as he was walking to the dais, and Ime was there. Ime Udoka was there, and certainly Rafael Stone and Reed Sheppard, the man of the hour, their number one pick.
It's mostly confetti, but a couple streamers.
Yeah, I was like, all right, cool.
It's a lot of confetti. Wow. So,
I don't know if I've ever seen confetti in streamers before.
Definitely not in Toyota. So.
As the no.
Well, whoops.
Well, that's ugly, Sean. I wasn't talking about their lack of winning. I was just saying I was going to go nationally as far as the NBA is concerned. I don't remember a pick being brought in with all that fanfare.
Yeah, I don't think the Spurs did this when they got Wembanyama last
year. They walked him to the facility so everyone could take pictures with them. I don't remember streamers or confetti. I don't. But hey, Reed Sheppard, everyone's excited about him in that building, and rightfully so. It's your top pick. It's a guy you believe was actually the best player in the draft, and they're not alone. There are multiple people who break down the NBA draft, and the prospects who thought that Reed Sheppard was the top prospect on the board. So he is in the building. He was certainly asked plenty of questions. We're going to hear from him when we come back. Actually, he was asked a question about what he thinks would make his career successful. He said all the right things, so we'll hear from Reed Sheppard when we come back. But first, let's talk about MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag. I don't know if it's up there yet, but at some point, Rookie of the Year, the odds for that will be there. If you think Reed Sheppard's going to win it, MyBookie is the place for you. And if you have a belief on what's going to happen and a real strong opinion, really, of what's going to happen in Copa America and the Euros, MyBookie is the place for you. There, we're getting closer and closer to booking the quarterfinals in the Euros. We had some exciting matches there. Shout out to Turkey and Austria. That was a good match. You can bet on exciting soccer. You can bet on maybe boring soccer, depending on who's playing in the Copa. But MyBookie is the place for you. Also, they have the live casino. So if you don't want to do the sports betting thing, you can obviously do the card games, poker, blackjack, baccarat, all there for you at MyBookie. And you also use that sign-up bonus, bet975, to make your money go further. And also, if you're an existing customer and you're coming back, MyBookie will take care of you there, too, with that sign-up bonus. Remember, go to MyBookie.ag because you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
During the break, Sean and I were going through who was actually in Blue Chips. Sean mentioned Bobby Hurley. Calvert Chaney's in that movie. We know Penny and Shaq are in it. Nick Nolte, obviously, is a coach. Al Bundy's in it. Ed O'Neill's in that movie. Allen Houston's in the movie. And Arliss, well, at least the actor who played Arliss, that's an HBO show from like the mid to late 90s. He's in it as well. So, and then we just started going through Ed O'Neill's IMDb. He's got Modern Family, Married with Children. He happened to be in a Finding Dory movie, and he's in Wreck-It Ralph. Sean was initially critical of the man's career.
Just.
And Clip, by the way, he's playing Donald Sterling.
Yeah,
Clipped as well.
Yeah, it's like other than Modern Family and Clipped, like I don't. Yeah, I got nothing on him.
Sean was like, Sean didn't think much of the Married with Children run. Different generations.
I've just never seen it. I've like literally never seen it. Yeah, I've seen other shows from that era. I don't know
where that show comes on anymore. I don't know where that show comes on. It was the show of my generation as a kid.
Maybe I catch up on it.
Grew up watching that
while
show.
We're off next couple days.
Grew up watching that show and celebrating the misogyny. Since you haven't seen it, there's a group in a show called No Ma'am. And it's
called what?
No Ma'am. And it's what it is. It's just men who don't want women in their group. It's like these husbands who have been beaten down by their wives. They create a group.
Couldn't make this show today.
Yeah. It was, it's a kind of a ripoff of Mad, Mothers Against Truck Driving.
It's on Hulu and Max.
Oh, I can watch Married with Children today. Yeah. Part of my 4-day weekend, if I so choose.
Yeah. I might catch up.
It's a lot of episodes. It was back when TV had a lot of episodes.
260
a season. Episodes? Yeah, that show was on a long time. And then he got Modern Family. Al Bundy, or Ed O'Neill, as he's actually called, cashing in those checks from network television, although Fox was barely a network back then.
You know who else is cashing them checks? Reed Sheppard.
Well, at some point, I don't know if the first check, has he signed his deal yet?
Yeah,
his
signing bonus, maybe? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he's officially signed, but if he has, that check's going to hit. It's going to hit pretty good for Reed Sheppard. Reed Sheppard was in the building yesterday, at least at Toyota Center. He was celebrated. He was asked questions. And he gave an answer a coach would love, a franchise would love when asked what he would consider a successful career. Here's what Reed Sheppard had to say.
Yeah, obviously win a championship. I think that's the main goal. as a basketball player is you want to win at the highest level and you want to be the champion. But, you know, at the end of the day, being a guy that everyone looks at and knows he played really hard, he played with a lot of positivity. He was a good teammate. He was a good person off the court. You know, I don't want to just be known as a basketball player. I think it's very important to get out in the community and interact with the fans and have good relationships with your teammates and the coaches in the front office and everything, everyone in Houston. Just being that good team and community guy that, looking back 20 years, they're not like, oh, he just played basketball. He was a winner. He was a competitor, but also he was a good person.
If the media relations team could have handed him a script, they couldn't have done it any better than that. Reed Sheppard on point.
He's not just getting drafted to the Rockets. He's getting drafted to the community.
Yeah, you know, after the draft, he's talking about how he's an Astros fan now. So he's hitting all the points.
They were, like, undefeated with him as an Astro fan.
It's been a pretty good run.
What a time to get in. Yeah. I mean, it's a little late, but what a time to get in.
I mean, pay attention to maybe 17 when he was. Yeah. The thing about Reed Sheppard is, I'm not doing a deep dive, but these videos are popping up just because you're searching for news on him on your For You page, things are going to come up. Like, there are videos of him where they're not Jerry McCain level stuff as far as social media cringe stuff,
Thank
but they're
God.
Out there. They're out there. Ugh. And it's him just being a kid. For the most
part. I don't want to watch.
Yeah, it's not going to help. It's not going to help your opinion of him.
I don't want to pollute my mind.
No. It is what a kid would do. It's just kid stuff, but it's for people as adults now can judge him because he's an NBA player. It's nothing crazy. It's just, oh, that he put like two basketball or like either beach balls or basketballs in his shorts and then walked around like he had a big butt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Oh, I was thinking Jared McCain stuff.
No, it wasn't as cringe. You could say that's cringy, but at least Jerry McCain's an adult while he's doing it. He's a young, very young adult.
I think that makes it worse.
Yeah.
That he's in college.
Yeah.
He's wearing a Duke shirt.
Yeah. Reed Sheppard was like probably 13, 14 or something. I don't know who grabbed them and where they found how they found them, but they're out there. And it's just a kid being a kid. They're not.
Does he have some rats in a circle? What's going on? Does he need to cut off the hometown?
It might be somebody who needs to make the circle smaller. Don't expand. Make the circle smaller.
Yeah.
Jared McCain
is entourage.
Is doing
Reed Sheppard's entourage.
His mom and his dad is pretty much the extent of that from what I can tell. But Jared McCain, someone's got to get to him at some point, right?
Who's it going to be? Podcast P? Who's it going to be? Joel Embiid?
Maybe Nick Nurse has a conversation with him at some point about, hey, cut it out, please. For my sanity. Because I think you're a really good basketball player, but then I see these videos, like, what do we do here?
I imagine it's like as he's grabbing his sinus. He's like, can you chill?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure Jared McCain's going to do a TikTok from, you know, on his first road trip.
Or like Sixers practice.
Yeah.
Something, shoot around.
Yeah, right before practice begins or the shoot around begins, and Nurse is going to grab his sinus and wave him over. Hey, you.
How many times do you think he's going to start a sentence or start a story with, you know, when I was coaching Kawhi? Let me tell you about what Kawhi would have done.
Yeah, he was kind of aloof. I only had him for...
Obviously did not want to be here.
I only had him for a year, but you know what? We won the title because he was about ball. Yeah. I don't know what Kawhi is about now, but when he was in Toronto, he was about ball. Can I get you to be more about ball? I don't think the Jared McCain TikTok stuff is going to last very long. He went to the wrong city for that. He better be the lights out shooter he was projected to be. That better happen.
You know when there's viral videos of someone who's like a doppelganger of a NBA player.
Like the Jason Tatum guy.
Jason Tatum, Jamal Murray guy, whatever. And someone said Jared McCain doesn't even need a doppelganger.
No.
He gave us all the ammunition.
No, when he goes 2-for-11
during
week one of his career, Jared McCain knocked down a shot, and then this is what Jared McCain's actually doing.
Yeah.
This is what it's going to be.
Paul George, please help us, Jared McCain.
Yeah.
Jared McCain doing some sort of Cupid shuffle.
He's going to have to. I respect being who you are. I just know you picked the wrong place. Well, you didn't have anything to do with it, but you wound up in the wrong place to be who you are.
That's
the wrong city for that.
What a ringing endorsement for the city of Philadelphia.
Well, you heard what
you can't be yourself.
You heard what that receiver said? Dirty ass, trash ass city.
That is true. Wasn't that Gardner Johnson?
No, it was a
Gardner Johnson bleeped the fans.
He was yelling about the fans, and now isn't he now back in Philly? Was it Mims or Wims? It was one of the receivers with that type of name, and he said, "No, I don't like that dirty ass trash ass city." When he was asked afterwards about the tour, "Oh, it didn't look like you were really enjoying yourself." "No, I wasn't." You know what that city's about. So McCain, if you knock down shots, you'll be fine. It'll be cute. It'll be like, "Hey, look at Jared being himself." If he does it, the words that are coming out of Philly fans won't be cute. It'll be things you can't say on the radio. You all know what they are. I ain't gotta even allude to them. You know. We will get to more from the Rockets presser yesterday. Ime spoke about Reed Sheppard and what he brings on the defensive end, which is something people are discussing. Is he too small to play, particularly when he gets targeted? Will his instincts make up for it? Ime Udoka talked about that. We'll hear from him when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I don't know who provided the donuts and kolaches, but much respect. I have a thing about if you're bringing stuff to the office, you can't just go with the 12 glazed. You can go glazed. You got to mix them up.
Yes. And this person smoked
Certainly.
It out of the park.
Yeah, whoever decided to bring all that food in, I thank you.
It was like 50 or something.
Yeah, there's donuts, there's kolaches from Shipley's. But thank you to that very kind person in the office who had the foresight to go, you know what? Maybe not everyone's going to want a basic glazed donut. You got some chocolate coconut in there. Great stuff. But that's really about us, less about the people listening. So we'll move on.
This isn't even like, sometimes it's for a sponsor. This is just love of the game.
Love of the game.
Shout out to whoever.
I don't even know who did it, but I thank you for what you did. It brightens the day, particularly because John and Lance missed out. So I'll take that win as well. They got after me a little bit this morning, particularly John. But
they got after me too.
Well, you caused some shrapnel because you're associated with me. That's all it was.
Trying to prep for the show, and all of a sudden I hear it.
Well, that was the second one.
Oh wait, I caught another one.
Yeah, earlier in the morning he got after you, and then you were in there prepping, and he what did he compare you to?
Well, he dropped the Cam Rising, and he was why wasn't I wearing a headband?
Yeah, he loved your headband. Said the hat wasn't a good look for you. I was like, oh, okay.
Whoa.
Appreciate that. I'm just here trying to work. Yeah. I have nothing to do with what's going on.
Again, it's like the 50 Cent. What do you say bleep me for?
I'm just sitting here.
I wasn't even in this room. I was in another. He like saw me from
he saw you
25 feet away.
Two panes of glass and said, "Oh, Sean, bring the bandana back." Okay, maybe next time, John. Maybe next time. So a guy who didn't catch any real heat is Reed Sheppard. Now, there are some concerns about him. Because of his size, is he a point guard? Is he going to be an undersized shooting guard? But what Ime discussed, at least one of the questions he answered, was Reed Sheppard's defense. Reed Sheppard, known to be a good defensive player, plays passing lanes, got steals at Kentucky, and even blocked shots on ball. There are a number of highlights of him blocking three-pointers and not on help side, not coming from behind. He's face-up with the offensive player. And as that guy rises to take a shot, Reed Sheppard has the timing and the athletic ability to go block those shots. So here's Ime Udoka discussing what Sheppard brings on the defensive end.
And for me, I think to piggyback on what Reed said, you know, he has the effort, toughness, competitiveness, and it kind of starts with that on the defensive end to have that mentality and mindset. And then, you know, like you said, one-on-one defense is one of the toughest things to do in the league, and he'll improve in that area just like guys did last year. But what we looked at and we saw a lot on film was his deflections, his steals, his team defense, always being in the right spot. And that takes IQ. That takes, you know, not just knowing what you're doing, knowing what your whole team is doing. And so a lot of similarities with Fred. Gets a lot of hands on the balls and steals and deflections and those things. And his anticipation is great there. we had him in the gym playing a little bit with our guys and did the same thing there, and so took the challenge of some bigger guys as well, and so he'll fit into what we do well and only get better as time goes on.
And that'll get him on the floor. But there are questions about how congested the guard rotation is for the Rockets, and really overall just the roster in general. We just see a lot of capable players, and how many of those guys are going to get real minutes. Well, you heard him discuss, Ime Udoka discuss, Reed Shepard's ability not only as an on-ball defender, just his awareness, team defense. And I think if we're talking about a path to play, maybe more minutes than you would suspect if you like what Jalen Green can bring and Cam Whitmore can bring. His willingness and ability to just simply know where to be and understand the game, I think gives him a real opportunity, because we know Ime Udoka's not going to be one to just run a guy out there who fails in even what you might consider the simplest things that a coach asks you to do. Just know where you're supposed to be. Understand the concepts and the scheme, and then let your ability take over. So if he's going to be that guy, that he can at least be trusted to understand how to play, he's got a real shot to get real minutes, even if some of the concerns about size will be a thing he has to deal with.
Yeah, and when you throw in how good – or not how good he is on defense, because I don't want to make him seem like he's Gary Payton out there.
Yeah.
But like you said, Ime obviously is a fan of his defense, and more importantly, just the competitiveness and the effort and the, I guess, know-how that Reed Shepard possesses on the defensive end. Because there's a lot of guys on the Rockets that have a lot more physical tools when it comes to defense than Reed does. But there's obviously, like you said, with the defensive playmaking that he was able to do at Kentucky, blocking shots, getting passing lanes. That's something that I can see Ime Udoka really falling in love with. And you combine that with the fact that he's going to be the best shooter on this team next season. So, and a team that was 23rd last year in 3-point percentage. So if you can be competitive and smart on defense and knock down shots on the Houston Rockets, even with a congested rotation, I think that is a very good shot at getting some playing time. And, you know, maybe he starts below the, you know, Aaron Holiday, who just signed a new deal. Maybe starts the season not getting a lot of playing time, maybe just in blowouts. But I can see, you know, by January, February, that he's getting all of Aaron Holiday's minutes, and he's really put his stamp on being the backup point guard of this team.
You would hope so. Credit to Aaron Holiday for, you know, carving out.
Continues.
It does, thankfully. Carving out an NBA career. But you would hope that he doesn't become what some people might call a progress stopper. And progress stoppers are guys who are older, but and the coach plays them and trusts them, and it makes the younger player lose minutes just because of a trust factor.
Yeah.
And that's why Ime Udoka talking about Reed Shepard and just his smarts and his IQ may mean that the Aaron Holiday minutes that you might suspect could get in the way don't happen just because there's a trust factor for a young player, and I think that's always the first step. I don't know if Ime Udoka is one of those guys that are like, we're going to have a whole practice without basketballs. I don't know if he's that type of coach where they're just going to, we're going to play without a ball to make sure you understand everything that I'm saying. I don't know how old school he actually
is. Blue chips nonsense.
Yeah.
That's what the other team on blue chips
Yeah.
That, Nick Nolte's like
that's,
that.
That's Hoosiers.
Throw it down to Shaq. Got it.
Yeah, whatever. But it's encouraging. At least that's the insight they have on him, the belief they have in him.
And at a certain point, like, if Aaron Holiday's a progress stopper to your number three overall pick,
you got a real problem.
That's more of an issue with the pick.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate that being an issue with Reed
Neither
Shepard.
Do I. And we'll get our first look at Reed Shepard in a Rockets uniform as far as playing July 12th, a couple Fridays from today. They play the Lakers on ESPN in Vegas Summer League. After that, it's a Sunday against the Wizards and the Pistons and the Wolves. And depending on how well they do, we'll see who they might play in the Summer League playoffs. So Reed Shepard, at least early, and it's what you would expect, known for the little things. And if that makes Ime Udoka happy, you've got a real shot to see him get real minutes very early in his Rockets career. Art, it's not very nice what you said, but I can't fault you for it. He said Reece Shepherd signed that deal. He can go get a haircut from a place not named Supercuts. That's just a Southern Kentucky boy haircut. That's all. Okay. That's all it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, he can have whatever haircut he wants. Don't care. On the other hand, at what point do you think he's going to get a, I don't want to say a real haircut.
A haircut by?
A haircut befitting a NBA player playing in the fourth biggest city in the country. At what point do you think, hey, is that a fade?
It's a question. Will his teammates make it a priority to get that man a haircut?
It depends how much time he's spending with, I don't know, Jalen Green or Cam Whitmore, I think. If he's like, no, you know, my best friend is Steven Adams on the team, actually. It's like, okay.
The last guy who's going to care what your hair looks like.
Yeah, Boban and Steven Adams.
But even Steven Adams has a look. I mean, he went with the long hair look. It is a look he has chosen.
Oh, what if that's the road Reece Shepherd goes down?
Now that he's out of Kentucky, and yeah. I don't know if his parents are going to spend a lot of time in Houston as he continues through his rookie season.
You can't tell me what
season,
to do, Mom.
But is he going to allow the hair to grow because he has a certain look? You know, there will be an influence of all of a sudden, mid-year, there's a tattoo, a visible tattoo, which I don't believe he has. So we'll see.
Do you think he's going to do the J.J. Redick where he just pops up one season with the, like, full arm sleeve?
One summer in Houston, after he's a rookie, like the summer after his rookie year, where he's no longer going to Vegas to play, where he's the teammate there to support the next rookie,
wearing sunglasses and a bucket hat.
Yeah, what is he, Tyler Hero?
I know
he's a Kentucky guard. He doesn't have to be specifically
what?
Tyler Hero.
You know what? I am just asking. When does he become Tyler Hero?
Yeah, you said the fade. Well, Tyler Hero already had that haircut, but you saw the difference when Tyler Hero was drafted. The suit he wore versus the suit Reece Shepherd wore. I don't think they're on the same path.
You're saying Tyler Hero always had that in him?
He always had it in him.
Even
when
growing
he was
up in
Milwaukee,
Kenosha,
Wisconsin, wherever the hell he was, yeah, Wisconsin, he always had that in him. He just needed to get to Miami.
He just needed the money.
He needed the money to be able to showcase what he had in him. I don't foresee Reece Shepherd in a bucket hat right before his second year with the Rockets
I didn't think we'd be talking about this much about like the 1993 movie Blue Chips. But do you think he's like, when he gets his first check, he's like, man, I'm going to be able to buy a crazy tractor.
Who was that player?
I forgot what his name was.
Was it an NFL player who got drafted?
Oh.
Was it a lineman? It was a lineman. Of
yeah,
course, it's a lineman. But
was it Landon Dickerson? It might have been Landon Dickerson. Who got it?
He got a big deal. He got a new deal. So I'm going to buy a big tractor.
It's an Eagles white offensive lineman. Not
Kelsey or Lane Johnson. I think it is Landon Dickerson who said, I'm going to use my money to buy a tractor. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. I saw enough of Reed's social media videos to say maybe a tractor's not in play. Okay. He's a little young for a tractor anyway. Maybe an F-150.
I was thinking he's pushing the Raptor.
Yeah, something
by training camp.
A cool American truck, something
lifted.
Like that. Yeah, something like that. Something. But Reece Shepherd, your newest Rocket, and of course with this show, we're done with the basketball stuff.
Yeah,
what's this man's aesthetic going
to
be?
What if we get to know him? It's yeah, like, actually, he is Tyler Hero.
You have turned him into Tyler Hero. I don't think he's that guy.
I'm asking when he's going to turn into Tyler Hero. He might be Landon Dickerson. We don't know. To quote,
I got a more TJ McConnell vibe from him. If we're talking about successful white guards, I don't think he's ever going to become Tyler Hero as far as the aesthetic.
No.
Because Tyler Hero went to Miami, married, got together with an Instagram influencer, and is living his life, except for all the Miami Heat fans who hate him. But as far as his life is concerned, Miami was a perfect place for him. I don't know if Reece Shepherd would do that.
You think Jack Harlow is going to be rapping about Reece Shepherd?
Depends on how that rookie year goes.
True.
Tyler Hero had a really good rookie year, and all of a sudden Jack Harlow was in his life. We'll see. And does Reece Shepherd want to be in a Jack Harlow video? Maybe he'd rather be in a Parker McCollum video. I don't know his taste.
I don't know.
We'll find that out as we get to know him. I needed someone there like us to stop asking basketball questions and go, excuse me, Parker McCollum or Jack Harlow? Which one?
Or just like who? I guess.
Who's your favorite?
We don't have the Spotify Wrapped yet.
Yeah, when he's not popular enough to do that, but after 2024 is over, Rockets rookie Reed Sheppard puts up his Spotify Wrapped, and we'll find out what he likes and what he doesn't like. I'm sure he did some interview when he enrolled in Kentucky, and they asked him these type of questions. People at Kentucky probably know, but we're just getting to know our rook.
Yeah,
and hopefully it's a long, successful career. Hopefully he doesn't end up in a package for somebody else.
Kendrick Lamar, number one.
Hey, he really likes Not Like Us, even though some would say Kendrick might be talking about him. Actually, he's just talking about Drake. Drake specifically. We've got 1 hour in, one hour to go. We'll get more into the Astros, mostly because MLB has updated their top prospects. And we know the Astros don't have a strong farm system, at least not ranked nationally, although we've seen some of the guys play particularly well. We just get updates depending on who you're following on Twitter. But one guy makes the list for top 100 players for the Astros. We'll get to that. We'll also get into some college football things because the Big Ten and their coaches have been ranked. And there's a lot more coaches in the Big Ten to rank. We'll see where some of the new coaches fall and where some of the current coaches maybe have risen or fallen themselves. So plenty of stuff to get to before we wrap it up. Remember, this is the final show of the week for us and I believe for everyone else, right? Is anyone working on Friday?
Killer Bees.
The Killer Bees are working on Friday.
To my last knowledge, they're working on
Friday. Yes, you're right. That's at last check, they were working on Friday too. But for a lot of us on this station, this is the last shows of the week. So we'll try to get enough in before we wrap it up for the week. 1 hour in, 1 hour to go. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.